Gospel can be found on page 1082 of the Church Bibles. The reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
The first reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 25. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers, fear God, honour the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Gracious Father, we need your help in our Christian living. We need to be reminded of how you'd have us live. So, Lord, work in our lives. Show us how we can please you and live in line with the gospel more clearly. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amidst the current epidemic, most people are living with care to hasten a return to normal life. And the end they have in sight is a COVID-free life, a COVID-free society. Well, Peter here writes about something in the mind of Christians to keep them going. He says in verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from simple desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits you." Not a COVID-free life or society, but actually they had in mind the day God visited, the day he'd return, the day when he'd come to wind up history. That's what they had in mind. Well, Peter's talking about submission in a broad sense, and today I want to look not at the last section about husbands and wives submitting to one another, but the earlier part of this part of Peter's letter. And he says, first, submit for the Lord's sake. Submit for the sake of the Lord. Verse 13, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. What is the frame around the gospel? What's the life we're trying to lead? Well, Peter is writing to scattered and persecuted Christians. The first Christians were blamed for the great fire of Rome, though it was probably Nero who started it. The Christians were fed to the lions. They were daubed in pitch and tied to posts and set alight on one occasion in Nero's garden to provide entertainment and light to his guests. And yes, also Christians were accused of being people who had sexual orgies, because Christians talked about their gathering together to remember the Lord's death as a love feast, and that was seen as orgiastic. They also thought about the language used in the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion, about eating and drinking. And so the Christians were accused of being cannibals, eating and drinking the blood of Christ. And yet we're told, verses 13 and 14, this: submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether it's the king as supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who are wrong and to commend those who do right. Yes, we are to live a Christian way, a Christian difference in all we do. Submit to the Lord. For it's God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorance of foolish men. We're told to live as free men, but not to use our freedom as a cover for evil, but rather to love God, honour the King, and fear God, thinking of a brotherhood of believers. We are to live, as he says in verse 12, a good life among the pagans. We will sometimes be accused of doing wrong, but submitting adorns the gospel very brightly. And the gospel shines out when we're accused of doing wrong and we submit and behave in a godly way. Submit for the Lord's sake, says Peter. Secondly, he says, submit trusting the Lord. It was Abraham Lincoln who once said, "Whenever I hear of someone arguing for slavery, I have a strong desire to see it tried on him personally." When Peter was writing, there was an estimated 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. They may have enjoyed some privileges, but ultimately they lived and died at the whim of their masters. And that makes verse 18 very striking. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. There's no difficulty in submitting to someone who's good, but submitting to those who treat us badly or terribly is a very different scenario. How can we begin to do that? Verse 19, for it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. We need in place a conscious trusting of God. If you suffer when doing wrong, you have only yourself to blame. How do you feel when someone starts a rumour, behaves badly towards you, or smears you? What should we do then? Well, verse 19, it is commendable if a person bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he's conscious of God. Conscious of God, we should trust God and keep going. We are to combat the vilifications by not vociferous denials or indignation, but by exemplary behaviour. It's not just stoicism. What is vital is knowing God's purposes. We may want to strike back, get our own back, be harsh in response. The gospel way is to hold on to God's goodness and to trust that trials have a purpose. Back at the start of your letter, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, we learn this: in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Praise, glory and honour when he's revealed. The result is that some will see the wonder of who Jesus Christ is. And still today, the result is the same. Some will see the gospel displayed and say, that's wonderful. Others will hate it. The gospel we live either draws someone to Christ or away from him further. The third, we submit with the attitude of the Lord. That's verses 21 to 25. Let me ask you a personal question. How do you feel about your work? Do you feel called to your line of work? Do you have a vocation, a calling? Have you noticed recently people have been talking about vocations which doctors and nurses and teachers have? Well, certainly nurses and teachers aren't particularly well paid, so it makes me wonder whether a vocation is something where perhaps you're not paid very well. But actually, have you heard of a hedge fund manager saying he has a vocation? Well, listen to Peter, verse 20 and 21. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. To this you were called. A vocation. Jesus Christ was called to trust the Lord God as his Father, even when suffering appallingly, spiritually, and innocently. In verse 22, Isaiah 53 is quoted, written 750 years before the crucifixion. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth, says Peter, quoting Isaiah. Well, think about the thieves crucified alongside Jesus. One of them tells Jesus, Jesus, save us and save yourself. The other one says to the other thief on the cross, don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence. We're punished justly, for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. We need the attitude of Jesus. And Peter continues, verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. How do you react when you're confronted by a terrorist atrocity, or is a national scandal, or some awful man-made disaster? I often say to myself, there is a judge, and one day justice will be done. I find that harder on a personal level to do that. See, followers of Jesus do not behave as they did in the past, because the Lord has brought us back under his care. I love verse 25, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you've turned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So we can let others see the gospel in our living. Even when we muck up and sin, which we all do the whole time, we can ask forgiveness and then seek to shine again for Jesus, as it were, to be the frame to show the wonderful, beautiful, glorious, saving life of Jesus Christ. Most unbelievers I come across are unwilling to believe, not unable to believe. Often it's a moral thing, some sin they want to hold on to. You and I, in the meantime, are told, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits you. And good here does not mean moral. If I was being moral, doing certain things in a good way, I would get the glory. No, good means a gospel life. It's a gospel life which displays what Christ has achieved and brought about in us. And our lives must be a frame for the most beautiful picture ever, most glorious news ever, of Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for us. I wonder, are we living such a life? That's what we're called to, as we, in our different contexts, submit for sake of the Lord, submit trusting the Lord, and also submit with the attitude of the Lord. May he help us to do that. Let's pray together. Lord, submitting is what you command us to do and you commend us to do. Help us in our different lives to do that from this day with renewed vigour in your strength. Help us to trust you to look after us and the justice of our cause, the glory of your name. Amen.